Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Stream of Playful Consciousness. Joe is going to be on in a minute, but as he just put it, we had a little bit of a Spinal Tap moment. I tried to say that the show is going to be at 6, and preferably I'd like him to call about 5 minutes until, so we could do whatever last-minute preparation we need to. He thought I meant 6:55. So he has to. Oh, looks like he's on.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
I can hear you.
Hello, Landon.
Yes.
Final tap moment there. Stonehenge
it's
in the
okay.
3 inches versus the 3 feet.
Yes, yes. I But yes, we managed to make it through our Spinal Tap moment and get to this show. I'm just going to introduce you real quick. For anybody who might know me but doesn't know Joe, I used to co-run Superhero Babylon with Joe, and Joe is a very intelligent man, very interesting writer, also the main musical mind behind the Space Flare project, among other projects. And he's a smart guy and a good friend and a great guy that I like to discuss through ideas with, Joe Marone. Well, anyway, I'll get to the topic of today's episode. Specifically, I wound up getting confronted with an idea at the end of Superman, and then, the end of Man of Steel. And later on, I was confronted with a variation on it. There's a scene at the end where Superman smashes a satellite to the Earth and has this conversation with a general where he says, How do I know that one day you won't work against America's interests? And Superman says, I grew up in Kansas, General. I'm about as American as it gets. Look, I'm here to help, but it has to be on my own terms. You have to convince Washington of that. General says, even if I'm willing to, what makes you think they'd listen? And Superman's final response is, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to have to trust you. And to me, something just seemed fundamentally right about that, because it seems kind of terrifying, the thought of something as powerful as Superman being under the control of a government, any government. And, well, I guess the first question to ask is, what's your take on that?
Well, as far as the movie scene is concerned, it's very Watchmen-like, and it all goes back to Alan Moore for me. So much so that the movie itself seems like it was based on a Miracle Man, or Marvel Man, if you prefer, by Alan Moore, in several respects. But specifically regarding, getting back to the reason I brought up Alan Moore is because of the whole Watchmen quote, who watches the Watcher, the juvenile quote going back to Greece, who monitors these people, who keeps, where is this mutual trust come from? And it goes back to the debates between minarchist, anarchist, autarchist. Ayn Rand had put it in the general terms of quoting, gentlemen, leave your guns at the door. But at the same time, our own nation's symbol is the eagle, and you see on the back of the dollar bill, eagle clutching the straw, or the arrow and the olive branch. So in one hand, you don't want to say to people, just trust based on what, blind faith? At the other, you want them to be able to defend themselves, so should somebody be lying. On the other hand, at some point, you do have to lay down your arms and let people have a chance. So it's trust and verify, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time to gain that kind of respect from one.
That is true. The other concept I always
self-governance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the other concept I always wind up thinking about in situations like this and in literature are, it's just the idea of checks and balances. The idea that a lot of the time whenever you hear arguments against some kind of anarchist system, it's always along the lines of, well, if you have three things operating within a given area and one of them goes rogue, then what happens? When I think, honestly, and the way I've dealt with the idea in my own work, specifically how I'm planning on doing dynamic debutantes, if you have literally hundreds of them and one goes rogue, it will mostly wind up solving itself. You'll have plenty of other ways to take care of it. And I think it only winds up seeming like a problem on an extremely small scale, if that makes sense.
Well, talking about scales, if you want to do it that way, the argument comes down to, well, if you don't have a monopoly on the use of force in a geographical area, you have anarchy. And the other side of that is, if you have multiple countries, you're always in a state of anarchy. So then your argument comes down to, do you eliminate countries and just have a one-world government?
And then theoretically getting into, say, we do eventually colonize other planets or, possibly someday discover life on other planets, do we eventually have to make, a one-galaxy government? How big does it get? And
you're
once
in
it gets
that argument, you're extending the existing paradigm into a future paradigm where we've seen with something like fall of Rome, where any one area becomes too geographically large, it's going to be impossible to rule over all of it. Where it's just then things break down into what Robert Fripp calls mobile fractal units. It's never going to be possible to extend that much control over such a large geographical area. It's a very static system, and that's what Ludwig von Mises talks about in Human Action, open systems and closed systems. And it comes back down to free trade versus a paternalistic control over an area.
Which is understandable.
And that brings back down the anarchist argument to, boils it down to just the notion of private property and ownership and who has say over who owns what. What one person does with their own property, and bringing it back to the Superman example. The U.S. government has a duty to protect its citizens, but it also has been said to violate the citizens' property and rights for its own good, quote unquote, whether it's via eminent domain or school budgets or taxes to build the roads. But who will build the roads without the government? Well, then Superman doesn't need a road, does he? And if you want to put it in realistic terms of not using Superman, the argument goes, well, the government builds roads for our use, but are they hindering us by building roads instead of letting us develop new technologies that go beyond cars?
That is a really interesting thought, and yeah.
There was actually an episode of the Justice League cartoon that was on Cartoon Network, one of the earliest ones where Superman was introduced, and he convinces the United Nations and the world to put down their nuclear weapons, but it was actually a ruse to get everybody to lay down their arms so that they could be invaded. That goes back to how far do you trust extend to the point where you don't let somebody develop means to defend themselves.
Yes.
And that goes back down to private property and how to what extent you delegate your responsibility to self-defense to an objective authority.
True. But the other thing is...
That really comes down to the author's... Okay.
Well, yeah. the other big thing is eventually, well, you're delegating your self-defense, but also you have the problem that eventually it can become too large and unwieldy to actually handle that delegation. So,
and that saying point, there that goes, when minutes count, when seconds count, the police are just minutes away.
Yes.
So ultimately, you are depending on your own judgment at all times, whether you delegate it or not. Even delegating it is an act of choice, so to speak. And that actually brings up the idea of objective values versus subjective values. But who's the, beyond, you know, the answer of what reality determines, who determines what's a value to one person and what's not? And who better than to determine that value than the individual?
Exactly. And in all honesty, that actually brings up another, well, concept that I've thought through, that with superheroes, you have each of them acting independently to a large degree. They can join conglomerations like the Justice League or the Avengers or whatever. But you also have people of varying moral systems and varying values, and they're all acting in a similar way.
Right.
The example that comes to mind is Daredevil and the Punisher. These are two characters who come into play quite a bit, and depending on who's writing it, one of them is always very clearly wrong, but depending on if it's Daredevil's book or the Punisher's book, or again, who's writing it, it changes who's who. The idea behind Daredevil is that he's a vigilante who works to apprehend, not kill, who understands the law because in his day job he is a lawyer. But there's ultimately a contradiction there, because since he is a lawyer and he's acting as a vigilante, he's both supporting the system and showing that he has no trust in the system because he's operating outside of it.
And that's the contradiction that makes the story interesting. From a dramatic point
of view. It is, definitely. Oh, definitely, yes. And then, on the other hand, you have the Punisher, who is just driven by vengeance to the point of where it's basically killed the rest of his emotions, and he works lethal 90 to 100% of the time. He's not working to apprehend people, he's working to kill people. And for the most part, he's dealing with people who are very ruthless, very lethal themselves, with the exception of occasionally going after just drug dealers. It was the 90s. But this always leads to a conflict where Daredevil always takes the stance that the Punisher works lethal, he's ruthless, he's taking things too far, he can't be trusted, he can't be allowed to do what he's doing. Whereas the Punisher sees Daredevil as a hypocrite who is needlessly limiting himself by his own rules and trying to work within the system to a certain degree. He's going outside the system but ultimately wants to work within the system, whereas Punisher has just completely sidestepped the system.
And the Punisher, like Rorschach, is also painted as psychotic most of the time, as most vigilantes
exactly.
are. And the problem
yes.
there is, the thing to remember is that the comic books were bound by the Comics Code Authority. They were bound by a Judeo-Christian sense of ethics, just as Daredevil is bound by his ethics. So that from that point of view, characters like the Punisher, Rorschach, etc., are always going to be painted as outsiders to that Judeo-Christian ethic of redemption and forgiveness that pissed off a lot of people about the new Superman movie. This isn't the Superman who is the Messiah character who brings out the best in people. He's more of a Punisher, so to speak, in that movie, as opposed to someone who helps people see the light in a Christian sort of way of forgiveness, when possible, so to speak.
Yeah, I still got the impression in Man of Steel he would have liked to have been that, just he was in a situation where that was impossible.
And but, I've seen two people defend, criticize him for putting Zod, General Zod down, ignoring all the casualties, ignoring the fact that Zod was trying to take over the planet and wipe out the indigenous species for his own.
Definitely.
But that, again, is ultimately down to the Judeo-Christian sense of redemption versus punishment, which goes more to the Old Testament, so to speak. And that even goes to the creators of Superman. The original version of Superman was a super scientist, sort of like Luthor. They didn't trust a human to have that much power, so they gave him the powers, but they needed him from another planet. Ironically, they were Jewish, but they made him a messiah figure, so to speak.
With a little bit of Moses' backstory for good measure.
Right. But
again,
it's this idea that human beings aren't fit to judge for themselves, but they can put their power into an almighty state that can be trusted to make the objective choices that the individuals can't yet. What is a group of authority but individuals themselves?
Yeah.
So what I find in the comics that they always seem to avoid as an answer is free trade and capitalism. They just let people decide for themselves what their values are, to trade voluntarily with each other without somebody forcing them to be moral. So
it's kind of
paternalistic. And that was addressed in Alex Ross's Kingdom Come.
There is a big paternalistic portion of the nature that goes into that. But ultimately, where do you think characters that operate on a smaller scale, specifically in reference to their personal values, where do you think they fit in all this?
They're always
the ones that are
punished for acting selfishly or individually outside of the greater good. And, of course, we've got the communist, secular version of the Judeo-Christian ethic right there, always acting for some greater good instead of your own interests. Selfishness is still a bad word. So it went so far as to have the Chick comics create the Justly Compensated League as a parody. I think Luke Cage, Heroes for Hire, is one of the few exceptions where it's kind of drawn out sympathetically. Johnny Storm, I know one of your favorite examples in the Fantastic Four movie. An individual ethic of capitalism. Peter Parker, for example, was punished for trying to have an independent career, make money with his powers. He paid for that with Uncle Ben's life.
Yeah, and that's even extended further that he isn't able to hold the type of research job he'd want because of his activities as Spider-Man. He's always treated as irresponsible because he's always missing time due to Spider-Man issues. So, also, you and I are familiar with the Johnny Storm discussion. I probably need to refresh people who might not have heard my take on it. In the second Fantastic Four movie, Chris Evans as Johnny Storm, he's just shown as completely ridiculously commercial. He's getting action figure deals for the team. At one point, he wears a version of the Fantastic Four uniform that has all kinds of NASCAR-like insignias on it from different companies. That it was later used with Booster Gold, and then it just seemed like it really should have been Booster Gold all along that had it. But anyway, the whole thing is he's always treated derisively because he focuses on the importance of the finances and trying to make what the Fantastic Four are doing profitable. Meanwhile, Reed is driving the team into bankruptcy. They are about to lose their base. They are about to lose all their research facilities. They are about to be out on the street and not able to do the things they're trying to do. And Johnny is the only one that's actually trying to get the bills paid. And he's treated badly for it.
And that's because the comics create a dichotomy between self-interest and the greater good. It's never win-win. It's always a sacrifice for somebody.
Yeah, that is a thing where a lot of people operating on conventional morality can't really conceive of a world where sacrifice is unnecessary, where it doesn't need to happen at all.
Even the Avengers movie touched on that, where Captain America says to Iron Man, when he says, "I would just cut the wire," and he's like, "Sometimes you don't always have the choice." They touch on that in Wrath of Khan with the Kobayashi Maru, Kirk cheated. But it's just that idea that life will try to find a way. It never gives up. Rage against the valley of the light. It doesn't happen. You know, if it comes down to it, so be it. But sacrifice first hand, at least. And to touch on another point you said, you asked about the more individual characters. Batman is a good discussion there because, one, he's not superpowered, so we can discuss him a little bit more realistically. Instead that the other characters like Superman, Wonder Woman, go out into the world and there's their problems. Batman is a selfish character who brings the problems to Gotham. Since that, even when there was a war on, it's always just thoughts about how it affects Gotham, how this affects Gotham, how it affects his life. And it goes to his personal mission about his parents' death. As opposed to, say, Spider-Man, whose uncle was murdered, he makes it his job to be selfish or selfless. Great power comes great responsibility. Batman takes it on himself for a personal reason to fight crime.
I can see that.
But getting back to the Superman issue and the larger issue of government and anarchy and who to trust, who to put your whose power should the shoulders rest upon. It always goes back to who watches the Watcher. It's been over a 1,000-year-old question. It's never going to have one simple answer. Except I think the closest we've ever come is something like the United States of America, where people had free trade and things were allowed to resolve themselves between individuals based on mutual self-interest, and mutual values, shared values. But since some people have an antipathy towards the term anarchy, thinking that it means for me but not for thee, Robert Lefebvre, I think I'm pronouncing that right, he introduced the different concept of autarky, which he got from Lysander Spooner, which is more about self-rule as opposed to no rules. Anarchy, properly defined, means no rulers, but some people take that to mean no rules, or take it to mean order, or order versus chaos, which is not what anarchy is all about. But the term autarky, self-rule, breaks that down a little more. It defines it as opposed to says what it's against. Anarchy says it's against rulers. Autarky says it's about individual rule or about self-determination, which clarifies a lot of things in the comic book format as far as self-ownership, the right to self-defense. The works of Ayn Rand would probably be described as autarky instead of anarchy, because in Atlas Shrugged, you find two sets of situations. Her characters in the Galt's Gulch have a system of settling disputes, but out from the larger world, they also, like, for example, Hank Reardon's trial, he tells the court, "I don't recognize your right to rule over," because he rejects their value system. That goes down to something like what happened in Plato's work, talking about Socrates drinking the hemlock voluntarily because that's what the government decided. He was guilty. Even though he didn't think he was guilty. He didn't think he should run away or fight it. He accepted the rule of law. But Rand's characters don't do that necessarily. They respect objective law as opposed to laws passed down that were just.
Yeah, and just respect for the law for being the law.
But not the law, capital letters.
Yeah, the law.
It's been popularly said that Martin Luther King quoted Nazi Germany, everything was done lawfully because these people were elected and whatnot. That didn't make it right. So it ultimately comes down to, for these characters, and in real life, they have to go by their self-judgment, whether they obey the law or not. And it's the same thing with vigilantes. When they feel that something is amiss, do they leave it to others, or do they take it upon themselves, whether they're right or wrong? And the only thing that's going to tell them if they're right or wrong is objective reality.
Well, I think the biggest problem with, because superheroes tend to be a good example of the biggest issue many people tend to have with anarchy. Because to a certain degree, you can set rules for yourself, but superheroes come into play when acts of force, violence, and theft are involved. And a lot of the time, the acts of the perpetrators are unreversible, and the way the acts are dealt with are often unreversible. And at that point, it becomes kind of murky as to how much leeway people should have in dealing with that, and if there should be an ultimate authority on it. But then the other thing
is, you
call
that rational. You call that rational anarchy, or what Rand called rational selfishness. You have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to your property. You don't have a right to violate the same rights of others. So I think what they said with George Washington after he turned down the emperorship as proposed by Alexander Hamilton, he didn't want to be president for life either. He went back to his life on his farm, what they say, selling your swords for plowshares. You take up arms only to the extent that it's needed to defend your life and property. Then after that, you go back to doing your business. You have no right to force others into fighting for your values. And you have no right to expect people to sacrifice their interests for yours. So a superhero running around. And let's for the moment get rid of the word superhero, because it suggests the fantastic. Let's go down to the word hero, which is simply defined as protector or hero. Or I'm sorry, protector or defender. What is it you're protecting or defending? If you're properly defined in an individualistic, rational and selfishness term, you're defending your life, your property, your values. Again, you don't have a right to violate the rights of others. So you're protecting your own interests while allowing others to do the same. So with something like, again, going beyond the idea of superpowers, like fantastic powers, but using real-life powers of weapons or superior intellect, whatever you want to use. Superman's got his godly powers, but the military has their weapons. In real life, somebody might have a bigger stick than you. Might be just something as simple as that. You defy them their right to have a stick, or do you build your own? And it's kind of it's mutually assured destruction. That's one way to put it. But you don't want to make yourself the pacifist who says, I'm open to anybody, whether they're trustworthy or not. You do have a right to defend yourself. So that comes down to gun laws. You defy somebody the right to have an assault rifle because you only have a pistol or a Derringer.
Okay, we're coming down on the one-minute mark now. It's been great having you on today. Giving me a lot to think about. Hopefully you've given anyone else who has anything to listen a lot to think about. Any last thoughts?
I think there's always going to be that unanswerable conundrum to us if you're going to look for a final solution. Always going to be open to free will and to values between the two parties involved. And it's never going to be answered to one person's satisfaction as long as they're being forced to answer. When free trade is the best way to let's resolve these problems, hopefully to the point where guns aren't needed.
Okay, then. On that note, eat my sexy bean.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
And that's the end of the episode. We're all here.
Okay.